ball. Ewing goes up. The basket counts.
He gets it over to the doctor. Tie ball game. Here's a shot. Julius.
He scores!
He scores!
Anthony for three.
Bang! That one goes down and the game is tied.
Here is Durant moving on Tucker. He turns. He shoots. Yes!
Talking Knicks, Nets, and all things across the association, this is Pick and Pod on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to the latest edition of Pick and Pod, WFUV's podcast for everything Knicks, Nets, and local, not local, national NBA. Here I am with George, I'm with Bradley, we got Derek behind the scenes. It's going to be a great day talking about sports. I have two Knicks fans in front of me. Of course, they have to do that when I'm the only OKC fan pretty much in the station, besides Madi.
Yeah, me got to show some love to Madi.
Yeah, me and him share that love, thank God. I need another brother to help me because y'all be attacking me. But before we get into anything, how you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Big win yesterday against the Indiana Pacers.
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that
one. Yeah, we got the Knicks again tonight against Trae Young, who I believe is 8-14, or like I know he has a very bad losing record against the Knicks, so I don't
get why people say
Trae Young owns the Knicks when he's like 7-20 or something in his games against the Knicks. So I don't get it. People say it's because of the playoffs, but you can't just ignore the regular season. So that's just my take on it. But enough about that.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little brisk, little chilly day here in the Bronx. Little snow last night, led for some scenic views outside on Eddie's.
Yeah, it looks beautiful on campus.
It does. It really does.
When you have that like clean white, like just patches of snow, like just untouched,
and then like the trees have no leaves, you could see through them.
Yeah,
it's like something out of a Hallmark movie.
Special.
I love it. I did not expect it to snow last night, and I was just watching it like, what? Can we just stop with the snow a little bit? Like, I'm getting tired of the weather
right now. It's
almost spring.
Got a
couple weeks left. But today, on this winter day, we're going to talk some Knicks right now. As Bradley alluded to earlier, beat the Pacers in Indiana 128-115.
With no Jalen Brunson. Brunson
didn't have that good of a game.
He had 8 points, 7 assists, 2 rebounds.
He picked up
on
5
poor
fouls.
Shooting.
Yeah. He was in foul trouble most of the game.
Josh Hart, 30 burger.
And Tibbs got a tech, which you don't see, you know, every game. So normally like when Tibbs...
First one of the year.
Normally when Tibbs is one of those coaches that does a very good job when he's like talking to the refs. He never like curses them out or gets personal. He's always like talking about the game. And I always watch the Tibbs press conference after every game, whether they win or lose. And whenever he complains about the refs, that's when you know it's bad. So to see Tibbs like get a tech was kind of surprising because he's one of those coaches that just like doesn't like, obviously he'll yell a lot, but he doesn't like excessively do it. Like he knows when to... He's not extra with it, knows not to cross any boundaries. So that's where, although people like criticize Tibbs for running players into the ground, you have to respect him as a coach and the way he handles himself.
No,
that's
for sure. Yeah, I mean, we can go all into like Tibbs and his philosophy, but at the end of the day, you know, he's a good coach. He knows how to keep his temper. He knows how to bring the team together, especially when your all-star starting point guard foul trouble, only gets 8 points, played only 23 minutes because of that. But then when you have Towns dropping 40-12, when you have Hart, I think it was season high, 30-10.
Second career high.
Yeah, like, I mean,
second highest scoring game in his career.
This is an Indiana team that, I mean, on paper, they have a pretty good squad. Haliburton, Siakam, you know, Turner did not play, which I guess that really hurt them because Towns was like able to like take over that game. But
Thomas Bryant cannot hold Karl Anthony Towns.
No one could. No one could hold that man. That's the reason why he's the all-star starter for the East. But looking at the team, like Indiana, they have a good, well-organized, over-around team that like when if you're playing a team like the Knicks and you're very star-heavy, you kind of – if you can take down one of them, you'd think that you can take down the rest of them. But clearly the Knicks overpower them. Mind you, you look at the stats, it was really a two-man game. You know, like, it really was that. And I just want to...
Deuce had 15 off the bench, though. A plus-minus of 25.
And I'm glad you say that because I want to highlight your bench.
Oh, boy.
You know, You know, I always highlight the bench for the Knicks.
Someone actually giving the Knicks bench credit, that's got to be, like, historic.
If you think Angel's about to give us credit.
No, he just said we talk about the bench. No,
I'm going to give you credit, and I'm going to give you discredit. I'm sorry.
Mark this day in WFEV history.
Gotta.
A non-Knicks fan is giving the Knicks bench. Hold on. Someone's got to, like, upload this to TikTok, Instagram, wherever you need to upload it. Make sure to follow WFEV, by the way. But definitely 100%, this will go down in history. A non-New York sports fan giving the
Knicks hater. I don't want to say I'm a Knicks hater, guys. Listen,
you're a Knicks disliker.
I'm a born New Yorker at the end of the day. If the Knicks.
You got no love for the team.
Nah, if the Knicks are doing good, I'm going to respect you. I'm going to support you. But at the end of the day, yes, I am. My heart goes to Oklahoma. Every day,
the middle of nowhere, some random, state that barely exists.
I really do wish y'all won with Carmelo, Paul George, or Russell Westbrook. Melo's my favorite player of all time, bro. I really wish y'all won something with Melo.
I'm very biased towards Melo.
But okay, forget about OKC right now. We'll talk about them a little later into the podcast. Right now, Knicks. There was a point in the game when the Pacers were getting close before you guys kind of blew it open that. Their bench was outscoring your bench. Mind you, you only had consistently Towns and Hart on the court. Saw a little bit of Mikal, but even he only had 29 minutes. And obviously
Which is low for him.
Exactly. And obviously we knew about Brunson and his foul trouble. So you really only had two stars, and it was really a bench-heavy game. And for at one point of the game, around the third quarter, like you said, George, you guys were getting outscored bench by bench. And that's the issue that we have to come here. Trade deadline is over, so the only kind of pickups you guys can worry about is through waiver wires.
Dwight Howard.
Pickups. The Dwight Howards of the world,
Mo
yeah.
Mo Bamba? I wish they would sign Mo
the
Bamba.
Alex Len would have been nice, but the Lakers got to him first.
You guys don't need a center.
Yes, we do.
You guys just.
We need a big.
Who's the bench center?
You want Ariel Hurkpurdy playing 20 minutes a night?
At the end of the day, you guys did not think about trading Mitchell Robinson, so you have faith in him.
We
tried.
No one wanted him. No one wants that hospital bed.
Okay, but look.
When healthy, he's a top two offensive rebounder behind Steven Adams. You can't just like.
When healthy, he's a great defensive guy off the bench.
He can't stay on the court, though. That's the problem. He can't stay on the court.
Which. Valid. I agree.
And no one wants to pick that
but
up.
But at the end of the day, I think that's not the priority that you needed off the bench. It was the center. I think the priority was you needed a forward or some kind of playmaker off the bench. Obviously, trade deadline's over. You guys did not address those needs.
Well, when you talk about forward, this is what my take has been since they kept Mitchell Robinson. To start games, so like the first quarter, I think it should be Brunson at the one, Mikal at the two, OG at the three, and then run Cat 4, Mitch 5. Let that be the starting five.
I don't like Josh Hart coming off the bench.
But then, no, in the fourth quarter situation when you need to close out games, then you keep the starting five that's been there right now. So you open up the game.
I don't like Josh Hart off the bench. He's too valuable.
But you open up the game running two bigs because the last time Cat played with an actual true five, the Timberwolves were the number one defense in basketball. So if the Knicks can open up games where they're starting good on defense and then the closeout games when you need to score a lot.
I feel like we have to wait a while for Mitch to be able to play minutes like that. Starting games, he's you don't want him playing too much because he's going to get hurt.
That's not even that.
One thing that worries me, though, is that he might get
I don't want him playing. I don't want him playing a lot of minutes fresh off this injury. I don't like that. Him not being able to stay healthy causes me so much worry, so I want him coming off the bench taking Hurkpurdy's minutes right now.
No.
I want him playing 15 minutes. I want him playing 17 minutes a night. I don't want him starting, playing the whole first quarter, or even playing 10 minutes in the first quarter, and then that limits his minutes for the rest of the game. I don't like that. I want him to be able to come in when it's last-minute possibilities. I want him to be able to go get offensive boards, go box out. That's when I want him to come in. I don't want him playing extended minutes due to the worry of him getting injured.
That's fair.
Now, defense to me is not an issue for you guys.
Interior defense is an issue. It's perimeter defense. That's the problem.
Yeah. But
dead last.
And you don't want Mitch on an island anywhere. Exactly. Against all these guys who can move. Against the Wembys of the world. Yes. Against the Jokic's of the world.
That's what the point I wanted to make.
Or against the Chet Holmgren's of the world. You don't want that.
You look at the situation in Minnesota when it was Towns and Gobert. They had some bright spots, but theoretically, you're looking at the same thing that would happen in New York if you have Robinson and Towns 4 and 5.
It's Gobert and Rudy. That's what it is. It's Gobert and Cat. That's
exactly. And your priority is scoring right now. I think you guys have a good defensive team that can play against the teams in the East.
It's decent. I I have to be honest. I wouldn't call it good.
I'm not going to say it's the best, yes.
It's decent.
It's top five in the league.
It's still, yeah, it's still up there as a defense.
They're like 12th in or like 11th in defensive rating, which...
That doesn't take it... I'm not a fan of those advanced stats. It doesn't take in the intangibles.
I don't think...
Like the hustle plays and the deflections and everything.
I don't think Mitchell Robinson's addition to a starting lineup would bring those ratings or anything defensively so high up that it makes such a difference. Like, I think the man needs to stay on the bench once healthy. I think because if you think about that lineup, you're pushing someone like Josh Hart on the bench, and he's too...
You're going to call me crazy. He's the most valuable player in the Knicks.
Yeah, he's a valuable guy. Like, he might not
but
be...
But he can't be playing 48 minutes when we get to
April. No, of course not. No. That's why I'm saying you keep Hart starting because he will play a million minutes a night. He will do it with a smile on his face, but you don't want him doing that.
Exactly.
That's when you bring Mitch in and you give him 12, 14 minutes.
See,
like, that's my thing.
Josh Hart is basically your forward. Anytime he doesn't want to be on the court or you don't want him on the court, you switch him with a healthy team, you switch him with Precious. You know, and you guys have players like McBride who can replace Bridges. Like, those are your two, like, top minutes guys. And obviously Towns, when Robinson can be healthy, that can fix itself as well. I think looking at this team, the minute allocation is still going to be an issue. You guys don't have the bench depth that can allow for your stars to play less than 35 minutes a game. Now, last night against the Pacers, you had players like Payne playing 24 minutes.
I'm okay with that.
Shamit, 19 minutes, yeah, right?
I love that.
And they were okay. They were okay additions on the court. They were not the worst. But theoretically, those two players, you don't want playing 20-plus minutes a game.
Who can... I would.
I want campaign playing 20 minutes a game.
I know we're gonna talk about OKC and rotations later, but when it comes to playoff time, you don't run 10-man, 11-man, 9-man rotations.
You run seven guys.
You run 7-8 guys, because if you run a 10-man rotation in like the second round,
and the
you
seven
will
guys
lose.
That we have are yes. valid,
which is why I
the
think
seven that, guys that we have are good.
Yes,
which
it's,
is
it's Brunson, Hart, Bridges, Towns. You're gonna have Mitch back. You're going to have Precious, OG, Deuce. That's eight guys right there.
I agree.
And you can put in Payne, too.
And you can put in Payne. That's nine guys. That's nine valid players. You're not going to give Hook 40 minutes. You're not going to give Shamit 12 minutes. You give him 6 minutes. You know, Kolick, Matt Ryan aren't even going to play. We have. You're forgetting. We picked up DeLon Wright, who's a solid bench guy.
I'm curious to see how he will be utilized on your bench, because he's not a bad option for Milwaukee once you guys trade Sims over there. How you know.
that made me so happy.
I know that made you
and
happy.
And they got some extra cash too, which they can maybe throw.
I know you guys
wanted
to get rid of that man so badly.
Oh my god!
After
I wanted his head on a stake.
I lost all respect for him after his dunk contest when he invited himself to a birthday party with opening up the envelope and getting the 50 or putting his arm in the rim, thinking he's Vince Carter.
You're 7 feet tall. Why are you trying to put your arm in the rim and act like it's cool?
For anyone who's in a dunk contest, leave that in 2000. Don't bring that back. I'm looking at you, Mac McClung. You stole some dunks last year. And
oh, yeah. Time out.
He stole a dunk.
We'll get to the All-Star break.
He's
we'll
a
get
high flyer, guys.
I'm not impressed with
Mac McClung is also like 6'2".
I'm not impressed with Mac McClung.
Doing crazy stuff.
I know. We'll talk about this later. I am not impressed with Mac McClung, and I'll explain why later.
Bugging. You're
bugging. Exactly what you said. We'll talk about that later, guys. But I kind of want to wrap up the Knicks segment thinking like this. So tonight, like you said, you have Atlanta here at home. That's the last game before the All-Star break. Before the standings won't change no matter the win or loss tonight. You're going to be third in the East going into the All-Star break. Given that I got two Knicks fans with me, all right, and I have to get your opinions, how are we liking the Knicks going into the All-Star break? How are we liking their chances once the break's over to finish off the season?
I think, honestly, I obviously pictured the top three to be, in no order, Cleveland, Boston, and New York.
I didn't have Cleveland in my top three, but yeah.
Well, given that the Magic have been... I still think the Magic, when fully healthy, are better than the Cleveland Cavaliers, but that's just a different talk for a different day.
Me personally, I had the Knicks, Celtics, and Sixers in some type of
top three. I knew the Celtics
before
were
the season started.
I knew the Sixers would not be a top five
Sixers are frauds.
I knew the moment they signed Paul George, this team will not be a top five team in the East.
It's gonna be Celtics, Knicks, Cavs at the end of the season.
Yeah,
you heard it here first.
It's basically
the Cavs going down to three.
Yeah, they're only five and a half games behind. I am telling you, ahead of Boston.
There is no take I will stand on more this season than the Cavaliers will be second.
Frauds.
Bro, this same Cavs team will not.
They're lucky
be
to make it out the first. They're not. If they play the Pistons, they're not beating the Pistons in seven games.
Okay, that is debatable.
I'm telling you, you're gonna see playoff Cade Cunningham turn into a mix of Jimmy Butler and Michael Jordan. You heard it here first.
But there is no take I will stand on more than the Cleveland Cavaliers are not the same team. There is no way that you could sit there and tell me that this 43-10 Cleveland Cavaliers team will not play like this in the playoffs. I promise you, there is no take I will stand on
Darius
more.
Darius Garland's going to disappear.
Donovan Mitchell is just Joel Embiid. He's the guard version Joel Embiid. Five straight times getting exited in the second round.
That wasn't his fault, though. I'm going to be completely honest. That wasn't his fault. A couple years ago when that happened, he had no team.
But he
And then last year, where's Darius Garland? Who?
But Donovan Mitchell had games where he would have more turnovers than field goals. I mean, if you're the number one option, that can never happen. If that happened to Brunson, he would be crucified by the other 29 fan bases in the NBA if he had more turnovers than field goals made in half of the playoff games in the playoff series. I just don't think that Donovan Mitchell is getting enough slander for that. Because think about it. If that's Jalen Brunson or if that's like a Stephen Curry or something, they're getting crucified. But I just don't. I'm telling you. I keep going. I'm all over the place. I'm sorry. I'll kind of bring it back to your question.
No, it's all good. I have no complaints.
I am just furious when I see people saying the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to like win the finals or win the East or make it out of the second round.
None of the above.
Exactly. But to answer your next question, I am actually very happy with how they've been playing. Although the defense is the one thing that does scare me, being 29th in offensive 3-point field goal percentage allowed, dead last in blocks, and 23rd in rebounds. When they brought in Cat and Mikal, they traded away defense for offense. Last year, I believe they were top 5 defense, and now this year they are top 3 offense. So by swapping out iHeart with Cat, they pretty much swapped out.
I wouldn't call it swapping.
It's not really. I'm trying to think for lack of a better word.
Hartenstein, who I'm going to give so much credit to because he's an absolute stud out there in OKC. He's arguably one of the best centers in the league.
But he grew up in New York, though.
I still would prefer having Kat over Isaiah Hartenstein.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Oh, for sure.
Because no one else is putting up 40 a night.
Kat's a top four player right now.
He's averaging 40 in like the last 10 games, something like that. He's been going stupid. But yeah, I feel like Isaiah Hartenstein's loss did cause the defense to fall because you could put him on an island and he would hold his own.
Yeah.
And that's something that Cat can't do because he's not as stop and go as Hartenstein is because he's a bigger body.
Yeah.
Hartenstein is slimmer, more slender. Cat's a brick. He looks like a Mack truck standing out there. And I feel like the defense is a little concerning, but I see the Knicks going up to second in the East.
First is locked up either. I generally think there's a shot.
We're beating Boston in a 7-game series. Mm-hmm. That's not even funny.
If Knicks can get Game 7 in the Garden, come on. You can't sit
We're not getting Game 7 in the Garden.
I'm not
being honest with that.
TD Garden, maybe?
any Garden is all Garden.
Because, no, with the playoffs, it's the winner of 2-7 plays the winner of 3-6. So if the season ended today, the Knicks and Celtics would play each other in the second round.
Yeah, but Boston
with
has
that
home court.
Being that,
yeah, Boston has home court.
I know, but
and even if we finish with the same record as Boston, we lose the season series already.
Yeah.
No, it's only 2-0. They still play. Don't they still play two more times? Or
is it two more? I thought their last game against Boston was next week.
No, they also play again in April. Tuesday, April 8th, they play in Madison Square Garden, and then Sunday, February 23rd.
That's a dub.
Sunday, February 23rd, they play in Boston. They actually have a
time to go buy tickets for that April 8th game.
They have Friday the 21st at Cleveland and then Sunday the 23rd.
That's a
at
dub
Boston.
Too. That's a dub too.
Yeah.
We're going to walk into Cleveland and we're going to show them who's their father.
I will say that coming out of the break, it's going to be two crucial games for you guys on the road as well, Cleveland and Boston.
if you guys can hold your own in those two games, I have a little bit more faith in the Knicks in the East.
I'm more worried about facing Boston.
OG's going to be back by then, and Jason Tatum's not putting up 40 again.
Because Cleveland almost lost to a six-man rotation in the second game of the season when there was no Precious. So if they can barely beat the Knicks on a six-man rotation, imagine the Knicks with, you know, the normal eight, nine-man rotation.
I'll end it like this. I don't want to say surprised. I'm happy with the way the Knicks have been playing recently and how you guys look being the third seed. I think to end the season, you guys will be within the three teams in the East. I don't know about one, two, or three, but you'll definitely be in the top three, I'll say. I think the Cleveland-Boston series coming out of All-Star break is going to be crucial for you guys. And as long as you guys can get healthy, then there's not much that can really stop your team, as much as I love talking about your bench and how terrible it is.
It's not terrible. It's okay.
It's not the best when you have teams solid. Like Cleveland and Boston that
it
have better
matter,
benches.
It doesn't matter, because in the playoffs, when you run eight-man rotations, that's seven-man rotations.
I get it, but
matter.
Let's hope that you guys don't get driven to the ground by minutes before we get there, and then you have to expand that bench in the playoffs, right? So let's just take it to Brooklyn real quick, you know. We can talk Knicks all day. We can make an entire podcast solely on the Knicks, all right? He tried.
I had snoring sounds coming up.
He tried. I hope Kurt Sippel listens to this after when it's uploaded on Spotify.
I had snoring sounds.
I don't even know
Kurt.
The Nets record.
Well, I'll give it to you right now. 19-34. They're on a little two-game winning streak against Miami and Charlotte. I mean, it's nothing.
Insert those snoring sounds again.
Generally don't even know where they are in the East. Are they? I think they're 11.
I'll give you that right now. In the NBA standings, they are 12. You were close. They're right there with the Sixers.
Oh, they're only 24 games behind first place. They got it.
But let me
if
give
they
some.
If they win out and Cleveland loses out, then
totally. Let's just give some flowers to Brooklyn, right? So, post trade deadline, we expected numerous things. We expected maybe Karen Johnson on another team.
I'm surprised they didn't sell.
I'm not surprised because at the end of the day, this team is very young and you're in a rebuild.
It's so confusing, though, because sometimes they look like they're going to win everything. And next
because
thing you
they
know,
have,
they,
like in the start
next,
of the season,
next
it
thing you know,
like,
they look like a high school AAU team. Like, it's
because
so
they
confusing.
Have a good, they have a good role player type of team that they can beat and surprise you on any given night. However, they are not looking into playoffs. They're not looking into anything beyond that. They know that their ceiling is the top 10 pick in the lottery and even top 5.
They have all my picks.
Exactly. What they've been doing is acquiring picks.
But all those picks will be
for the future.
Nothing before like 22, so I'm not worried about those 5 first-round picks.
Listen, you could be worried or not. They still have abundance of picks to go in the future, and you can use that.
Even those 22s are good because wasn't Jared McCain picked 21st?
There are some steals when you get higher, when you get late into the draft.
Or the Nets, what they could do is use all those picks and trade up.
Exactly.
If they, you know.
Or they can trade for a young star. Like you can, when you have the assets, there's anything that you can do. And that's the good thing with Brooklyn. We can trash on the team as much as we want, but at the end of the day, they have a foundation. They have Cam Thomas, who has not been playing, but obviously they still have him. They have Cameron Johnson. They have Nick Claxton, okay? The only player that will probably be in the buyout market soon is D'Angelo Russell, and they already started doing that with Ben Simmons, who just signed with the Clippers.
Still good crazy.
For,
that's, that, that,
good for them.
That's a, no, I think that's a good pickup for him.
Yeah, good. No, good for the Clippers.
Is he going to play?
Yes.
Like, decent?
Yes. He's gonna play minutes.
You trust Ben Simmons to have decent.
You don't.
Is it bad that I still have faith in him?
You don't need. You can have faith in him. You don't need Ben Simmons of Philadelphia All Star level.
You just need defense, Ben Simmons.
You just need Ben Simmons who can be on the court
and pass the ball.
If you can pass the ball to Harden and Kawhi, Norman Powell. If you can play defense,
Norman Powell
like All Star
snub. By the way, Norman Powell was snubbed.
But then who do you? Well, I know we're not talking about.
That's
I don't know
hard.
If we're gonna transition to.
That's difficult. I ain't going to lie.
I don't want to jump ahead, so it's your show, Angel. So
No.
He's putting up 25.
I love it when the host and I love it when we can just have a conversation. This podcast can go anywhere, boys.
And this podcast can also go for like 3 hours. If
it can't go for 3 hours, schedule. Given the people I'm with.
I just want to say Mikal Bridges is another snub out there.
I'm not
OG's injured, so obviously he would have been.
Norman Powell, LaMelo Ball.
No, LaMelo Ball, no. LaMelo Ball should not be an all-star, respectfully.
Bugging.
I'm sorry. If you're going to... Hold on.
I will say my thoughts later. Let me finish with the Nets because that take was insane to me. So when I look at the team, okay, it's not the best, but what you want is to see the potential from your players. All right. You already committed to someone like Cameron Johnson for now. You committed to Nick Claxton. Those are your two centerpieces in the future. You're aiming to get a high pick in the draft, like a Cooper Flag. You still have Cam Thomas on your roster. All right. And then every other name that you see on the Nets roster are just playing for bench minutes in the future to be part of that rebuild. Okay. But when you look at what could possibly be the Brooklyn Nets of the 2025-2026 season, I'm not saying that they are built for any success next year. All I'm saying is they're built to have a young core next year that they're going to have the year to figure it out. And maybe 2 to 3 years down the line with that core,
we could be talking about a playing team.
We could be talking about low 6-7 seed.
No.
look at the East standings. Look at the teams. I'm talking 2 to 3 years down the road.
Are you telling me with a straight... Okay, we'll name the teams up right now. So, obviously, Cleveland, Boston, New York, those three teams are untouchable.
Indiana's there.
Milwaukee, the Bucks.
Detroit's going to be fantastic.
Detroit's going to be great.
The Heat, the Hawks, the Magic.
The Hawks, absolutely not.
Take away the top six right now. I'm looking 7 and down. The Heat, they have some question marks. The Hawks are always average. The Magic are supposed to be good.
They're
going to
be nasty.
They're just hurt.
Yeah. They're going to be nasty.
The Bulls are going to go straight down the list.
The Sixers are going to come back soon.
The Sixers are going to come back soon.
The Nets, can they make the play-in in the future? Will they win out?
At best, they're a play-in team.
That's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
When you have a young core, you're building up to become better and become a nice market that other players might want to play for, okay? And what the Nets are doing is they're building that foundation now, and then they're going to hopefully draft someone they want for next year, build the chemistry there, see the team. Maybe they are a playing team next year, but I'm saying
I think it's arguable for next year.
Look, the Wizards are going to stay being the Wizards. The Hornets are going to stay being the Hornets. The Bulls are going to go down. I think the Heat are going to go down. Now that's already four teams. Now we're talking about top 11, and all you have to do is make it to the 10th seed. I can see a possibility where they're 10-11 fighting for the last spot to play in even next year.
I don't think Philly's a play-in team next year either, especially if Joel Embiid's going to be the same like he was this year.
Embiid's a fraud.
100%.
I think the Sixers, if they can figure it out, their ceiling is a playoff team, but they play like they can barely make a play-in team.
The Sixers can make the play-in, they will not get past the play-in. If they have the same season that they did this year, next year, there's no...
I want Philly to come back and take that 6 seed. I want to smoke them in the playoffs again.
But what if the Knicks get the 2 seed and then Boston gets 1 and Cleveland gets 3? Then you'd play the 7 seed, which is the first winner of the play-in, which, in my opinion, it'll be the Orlando Magic. I think they will...
Light work.
Respectfully, yeah. I can see the Knicks
light work
playing a team like the Magic or Pistons in the first round, and I mean, I would want.
If you say Orlando. That the Knicks, no, if you say no. The Knicks lose,
don't
you'll
even,
never.
Don't
I
even
would
say
want,
it.
I would want Orlando as the
don't
easier
even
matchup.
Say it. Oh, there we go.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh, if you were to say,
we were about to jump down your throat.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I can't even be the A-host on this podcast today,
we would
guys.
Have, we would like, have said from now until the episode clowning you saying that
if
the
I'm,
Magic is
if
seriously
If I was
the
a
Knicks.
Knicks fan, then yeah. If I'm the 2-3 seed, like I said, you're most likely going to play someone like
I
the
want
Pistons
Atlanta.
Or Magic.
I'd rather play Cleveland than
I want
Orlando,
Atlanta.
I'm just saying. I'd rather play Cleveland than Orlando. Because Orlando fully healthy is nasty.
Yeah,
I think they're the
give
third
me
best.
A Trae Young sweep. I want to sweep Trae Young.
Me too.
There's a lot of animosity in this room right now of Knicks fans. They just want... revenge at this point.
There's no revenge when you're 7-15 against the Knicks. But there's no revenge.
Listen, then as
we're calling that a rivalry.
I know we were just talking about the Nets, but going right back to the Knicks real quick. I understand that there could be animosity, there could be rivalries, or however you want to say it. The Knicks are built to be one of the best teams in the league,
and they are.
It shouldn't matter.
And
who,
they are.
And it shouldn't matter who you guys see on the court. You guys should be able to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals without any problems, the second round with any problems. Doesn't matter if it's the Pistons, the Magic, the Heat, the Hawks, the Sixers. It doesn't matter. If you guys are truly one of the best teams in the East, then You should be able to make it to the further rounds where the true competition is who's ahead of you, which is Cleveland and Boston. And I know how much you guys talk about Cleveland not being
Cleveland
a good
won't be
team
there.
Or being
be
frauds.
They won't be there.
Let's find out. We are just at the All-Star break. Everything's looking good with the Knicks. You guys can have, after today, a nice, you know, weekend off to rest your stars, hopefully get healthy again. Hopefully OG
get
is not
OG
out for
back.
Too long. And we'll have this conversation down the road as the season concludes. But because it's All-Star weekend this week, we might as well get into that, talk a little bit about it. And Friday, as Bradley said earlier, is the
celebrity game.
And isn't Rising Stars and Celebrity
the
same
stars.
Day?
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, it's the winner of the Rising Stars game.
Yes, they become then, the fourth check. Team
yeah.
in that little like
they
playoff
play
tournament.
In that little bracket.
I
game,
like the
it's
new
like,
format.
It's like, what, games to 21 or something like that?
It's games to 40 for the on Sunday.
It's interesting, but
I like it personally.
When we get to, you know, yeah, Friday is the celebrity game and the Rising Stars. Saturday, of course, is 3-point contest and slam dunk, and of course,
and the skills challenge and all that jazz.
Sunday is the All-Star game. We can kind of take it day by day, end off with Sundays. So Friday, you know, celebrity game is a celebrity game. You know, it's nice, cool, fun. Sometimes you see some names where you're like, oh wow, there.
Shout out to Coach Barry Bonds.
That was crazy.
He's the coach.
He's one of the coaches.
That's crazy work.
That was insane when I read that.
I was like, wait, is there like a YouTuber or like a celebrity that's also nicknamed or named Barry Bonds? But then when I Googled it, it's like, no, the legit top five baseball player of all time, Barry Bonds.
I was that one did catch me. I'm not gonna lie.
He may not make the baseball Hall of Fame, but he can make the celebrity game Hall of Fame.
I'm looking at this Rising Stars stuff, and I see Jeremy Lin is the coach of the G League team, and that is something.
Oh yeah. I mean,
shout out Jeremy Lin, by the way. New York Knicks legend Jeremy Lin, Brooklyn Nets legend Jeremy Lin.
Oh yeah, of course.
Houston Rockets legend Jeremy Lin.
When I look at these teams, actually, like, it's not. That's not bad. I mean, Jeremy Lin is the G League coach. I don't think I have any hope for them moving forward.
Reed Shepard's putting up 40.
Nah. I'm liking, if I have to look at the teams right now, I'm a fan of, it's between Tim Hardaway and Chris Mullin teams right now. I mean,
I actually watched the draft. It was crazy that I think it was Yves Messi and oh my gosh, Jalen Wells, they fell so far down. Like, are they going to get picked? Or
Eve Missy is a bucket.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, looking at Mullen's team, it's highlighted by Stephen Castle, Dalton Kincaid,
Buffalo Bills.
Kincaid, oh my God. That's like
we're stuck in the NFL world.
Nah, Dalton Kincaid, Zach Edey.
The Super Bowl just passed. Yeah, I'm stuck in the NFL world right now. But I'm like, yeah.
Charlotte Hornets for 5 minutes, Dalton Kincaid.
Yup.
Undefeated. You know, they might the Hornets are trying to get that trade.
They
extended.
Really don't want Mark Williams, bro. There's something like
they really want Dalton. They want that.
They really want Dalton.
They see something there.
And mind you, if Mark Williams is really injury prone like that, I mean, I wouldn't want him on my team either. But he's so young and athletic that, like, if you can just get past the injuries, if he was to be on that Laker team, that would have been something.
AD's last ever game as a Laker actually was him dropping 40
on Mark
Williams.
Yeah, I saw that stat.
It's kind of ironic that, I mean, it was probably LeBron that traded away Dalton Kincaid, but
I like Tim Hardaway's team, though, when you look at it. Hawkeye Jr., Grady Dick, Anthony Black, Alex Starr. They got both the top two picks in that.
Alex Starr is such a bust.
No one in this draft really, like,
Jared McCain.
Surprised me. McCain was really the guy, like, until he got injured, unfortunately. But
it could have been Reed Shepard, but
it could have been.
But Ime Udoka just doesn't play him enough. I'm a huge Reed Shepard guy. I really think he would have been something special if he just got more minutes.
I agree.
He's a little small, no?
Well, I mean, he played in Kentucky, so.
He's 6'2", 185. I mean, I a 6'2", 185... point guard, two guard.
But he's fast.
Wouldn't be my third overall pick, to be honest. But
no, it was a weak draft. Let's be honest. Even though that you found some talent later in the
draft this year is gonna be nasty.
Yeah, I have more hope in this next draft. But let's just move on from Friday night, because like, there's nothing to really talk about with the Liberty game, the Rising Stars. Like I said, I think Tim Hardaway Jr.'s team is going to represent the Rising Stars on Sunday. But going to Saturday night, dunk contest, three-point contest, I think that's always a controversy when it comes to the NBA All-Star Weekend. And whoever's on Pick and Pod next week is probably going to talk about the controversy of dunk contest, like we do probably every year.
It's been ruined since Dwayne Wade is the reason why the dunk contest has been ruined. When it's
the year that
when
Aaron Gordon should have won.
When Aaron Gordon should be a two-time dunk contest champion. Shout out to Zach LaVine, but I genuinely think Aaron Gordon.
No, I think LaVine should have won
LaVine should have had that.
It should have been the Gordon one that he got snubbed with. But
I think Gordon started off better, but Zach LaVine on his last dunk, I think that was kind of just like,
what are they doing to the skills challenges? Skills challenges so cooked.
I almost forgot about the skills challenge. That's Saturday too.
That's so cooked. It's team Cavs, team Rooks, team Spurs, team Warriors. Why is there no one else represented?
I don't.
What is this?
Because
this is so cooked.
Because the
three-point contest will be the best.
All-star game is in San Fran, so they were gonna have a team Warriors no matter what. Yeah, they always have a team to represent.
Pick like the most skilled people in the league.
Nah, no, but
players might like reject the
Zachary Risache is in the NBA skills challenge.
Because I mean,
what?
Because there's some players that might like reject the offer, like for the three-point contest.
Yeah,
they were gonna have the Splash Brothers, I believe, or Sabrina and Caitlin Clark, but Caitlin Clark,
which I respect that decision.
Yeah, I respect. I like. I still think the Splash Brothers would have won, but it was.
We saw it last year. Didn't Curry smoke Sabrina Ionescu?
Not even.
No,
he almost lost.
Sabrina.
That was that.
Sabrina
that
would
have been
in the
staged.
Finals
that
for
had
the.
To have been staged.
If Sabrina, her score I think was 26. If she actually played in the real dunk. Not dunk contest.
The three-point
contest. She would have been in the finals.
She's out here yamming it.
She would have been in the she would have been in the finals for the three-point contest with her score. But Stephen Curry, the greatest shooter of all time.
When you look
at Curry, man,
put her in an NBA game.
When you look at the dunk contest, I'm just gonna shift back to that real quick.
Boring.
Mac McClung, obviously.
Matis Buzelis is winning it all. You heard
Stephen
it here
Castle
first.
And Andre Jackson Jr.
The dunk contest.
I mean, the favorite to win, obviously, is McClung, become a three-time champ, but
Stephen Castle.
I'm impressed with Mac McClung.
I think all I'm hoping for is some good dunks.
Unique dunks.
We need a 360 behind the back and a tween at the same dunk.
Off my seat kind of dunk. You know, like I need
a
reason.
Anymore. They don't exist
they
anymore.
They don't. I need a reason to be like, oh my God. You know, like I need a reason to do that. I have not in a long time. Mind you, the dunks that McClung have been doing the past 2 years.
Half of them were stolen. Let me explain why I am not.
I don't
want to
say
Mac McClung.
There's not that much more you can really do, sir.
The three-point contest is going to be the best one, and Cam Johnson's going to win it all on that one.
Over Jalen Brunson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, hold on.
I'm the number one
Nets
hater,
before we even go into the three-point contest, I need to hear this.
So Mac McClung stole a dunk. He stole two dunks from Victor Oladipo. I believe it was last year when he went. He stole Victor Oladipo's 540 dunk, and they acted like Mac McClung was the first one to do it. I'm sorry. I just don't think a G leaguer should even be in the dunk contest.
I agree with that.
A G like
no, they purposely signed him to an NBA contract for.
He's put on a five. He's put on a 6-hour contract just to be part of the dunk contest. I don't think a G League or shoot. It's the NBA slam dunk contest, not the NBA slash G
no,
League
I get it.
Dunk contest.
I get
if he
it.
Was good enough to be in the NBA, then he should deserve it. But he doesn't even get any garbage time minutes.
He's on the I think he's on the Magic on like a two-way,
yeah.
I think.
He's on the Magic on a fake two-way just so he can compete in the dunk contest.
I just don't. And he does use a G League ball, so I guess you have to kind of keep it fair.
The G League ball and the NBA ball are the same.
Oh, it is the same. Okay.
Yeah. I've
seen them. I work for the Westchester Knicks, and they're the same ball.
Okay, so then there's really nothing.
Pull up Westchester County Center.
I'm just. I'm sorry. Like Mac McClung, his dunks are impressive. Don't get me wrong, but half of them, when you steal half of your dunks and try to claim them as your own,
I don't think it's stealing, man.
Like but we criticized Jericho Sims for stealing Vince Carter's dunk. Why aren't
no,
we
it
criticizing
wasn't,
Mac
it wasn't
McClung?
It wasn't even criticizing him for stealing it. It was criticizing
I think that's
him
just
it was
pure,
really bad
pure Jericho
execution.
Sims hatred in my heart.
No,
that's why
it was just
out.
Really bad execution. Like just the way it's the execution.
He's
not
athletic.
It's not
he's a bum.
It's not about stealing. You're gonna see the
he's
same dunks every year. And you're gonna see new dunks every year.
But
it's just
like Jaylen
how
Brown
you do it.
Why does Jaylen Brown get no hate when all of his dunks were stolen?
That man got hate when he jumped over Kai Cenat.
if he could jump over Kai's
congratulations,
neck,
you jumped over a 5 foot nothing guy.
He was sitting, so he was like 3 foot.
I'm 5 foot six, and I'm taller than Kai Cenat. What?
I could probably jump over Kai Cenat sitting in the chair. I could have probably done that, to be honest. But why does Jaylen Brown get no hate? Why does Mac McClung get no hate?
You know, but you know why? But you know why Jaylen Brown probably doesn't get hate is because when you look at the dunk contest, you are praying for stars or for quote unquote big names to be a part of the contest.
You want the bronze. You want John Morant. You want the Zach Levines. You want the Aaron Gordon.
Jaylen Brown was the first kind of quote unquote big name to do the dunk contest.
But he ain't
for
a dunker like
while.
That, though. He's not
but
a dunker
he,
like
but
that.
But he can fly. He's athletic, and that's
he can
just
fly
something.
Over Kai Cenat. Like,
let's just hope that this year is better.
I think it's time we move on to the 3-point combat.
Yeah, let's move on. Jalen Brunson, Kate Cunningham, Darius Garland, Tyler Herro, Buddy Hield, Cameron Johnson, Damian Lillard, and Norman Powell. If I had to put money on this, I think the favorite is probably Damian Lillard just because of his past victory.
It's going to be Cam or Buddy Hield, but don't sleep on Darius Garland.
You know, but I've seen Buddy Hield do the 3-point contest for a couple of years, and he always sells somehow.
No, but he's, I think statistically, he's the best or second best shooter in the
Oh, no, I'm not disagreeing with that. But if I had to put money somewhere, me personally, I think it would be between Cameron Johnson and Damian Lillard. I think those two are probably going to be in the finals for the 3-point contest. I don't know about y'all, but it looks like you're saying
I got my money on Cam Johnson.
I'm a little biased, so obviously I want to see, but I just like
no, of course
I can't go against Damian Lillard though. Like I can't. As much as
it's gonna be Cam Johnson, Buddy Hield in the finals.
As much as I want Brunson to win it, and I think he'll do pretty good, I just can't go against Damian Lillard. I think he's the best shooter, regardless of percentage. If you're solely looking at these names, you can't go against Damian Lillard, in my opinion.
Agree. But now let's finally make it to the main event of all the weekend, Sunday night, the actual All-Star game. And they've been trying to fix this format for years, and let's do a tournament. So we got.
I love this new format, but
I hate
the
this,
draft.
But we can get into that.
Was Kenny Smith? I am a huge fan of Inside the NBA, but I genuinely think Kenny Smith made his list like that the morning.
It was scripted. It was Kenny picked a bunch of international. Kenny Smith literally just picked all the youngins,
which is fine. Look, I think.
But that's not the best lineup he could have picked. You look at the draft. All of these picks were backwards.
No, but okay. But forget about drafting the best team.
I think the part that was scripted was keeping LeBron, Curry, and KD.
And that's okay.
That's the only scripted part of my opinion.
That's okay. They drafted based off a narrative. Why not have an OG team? Why not have a global team? Why not have a young team? I actually like the narrative that they did.
Me too. I just don't like Kenny's.
I wish that they never had to get to this point on the All-Star game.
It's because they stopped trying.
The players stopped trying. That's my issue with everything. I don't like the format because we're going to see
the same
thing.
And this isn't
going to
stop them not trying.
We're going to see the same thing we've seen past couple years. They're not going to try. They're going to just score however they want.
You look back on MJ's highlights. You look back on Magic. You look back on Kobe's, early Kobe's, early Shaq's.
They have some passion.
They were getting hurt. Players were getting hurt in this. They were putting their body on the line.
Didn't Dwayne Wade shoot a flagrant free throw?
Dwayne Wade broke
in the All-Star
Kobe
game?
Bryant's nose, and then in the All-Star game.
Wait, Kobe broke Dwayne's?
No, Dwayne broke Kobe's nose in the All-Star game, and then they met after the All-Star game, respective teams, and Kobe went after him. He loves that competition of him.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what you want to see in the All-Star game.
You want to see Harden. You don't want to see no defense. You don't want to see none of that. And that's just what the new NBA is. I'm going to sound like an old head saying this, but the NBA is cooked right now. There's no defense. It's all threes. And the NBA is losing its love because of this.
No, I agree.
And I'm always going to love the NBA. I'm always going to love the Knicks. But you won't see me sitting there watching three marathon games because it's all copy-paste. It's all no defense, straight threes. And I'll die for my Knicks. I'll always watch my Knicks.
Me too.
But you won't catch me watching a random game on a Wednesday night that's like the Hornets versus the Wizards.
Hornets versus Wizards.
Because just copy and paste the same game over and over again.
No, 100%. Like, I was going to make a joke. Hornets versus Celtics on a Tuesday night on League Pass. Remember that? That was so funny when the Celtics actually lost that game too in Charlotte. But 100, I think this is the softest era in NBA history. I will stand on that take.
We need MJ back.
This is the softest era in the NBA. It's all 3-point shooting. There's no defense. And I miss Kobe. The refs also ruined the game too with the obnoxious amount of calls.
It's because the refs are told to make these soft and the free throw ticky tack fouls
and the free throw merchanting and the foul baiting.
Shea
and,
Gilgeous Alexander.
Yes. Oh my. Can we talk about the Thunder real quick?
We couldn't. No. We could. No. We
We're
not.
On the All Star right now, Bradley.
We are gonna end off with the All Star weekend, and hopefully you can hop on next week and you can talk about.
Oh, you didn't want you. Okay. You were dodging. Okay.
I'm not dodging. I just know it's All Star weekend. Come on now.
He doesn't want the smoke. It's okay. It's
I don't
okay.
want the smoke.
It's okay.
I was here.
We
on
can handle the Knicks. Smoke.
I was here on 101 defending my team because you think that you can beat us in the 7-game series.
You can't. You're not
we
running.
Can.
You're not
no,
running.
No, we cannot.
We can beat you in 7 games.
You're not running an 11-man rotation in the playoffs. You will lose in 5 games if that's the case. You
we
cannot,
don't have to run an 11-man rotation.
Our 8-man
we
rotation
just
is better
players.
Than your 11-man rotation.
100%. 100%.
100%.
The Knicks had the best starting
I'll
five
I'll die
of
on
basketball.
That. Cap. Like, I'll fall on that sword right now.
What separates the Knicks and Celtics from every other team, they're the only two teams of basketball where any guy in the starting five can take over a game
and put up 40.
The Knicks are the only Let's team in NBA it. History to have four players score 40 points before January 1st. No one's ever done that before. But the 2024 to 2025 New York Knickerbockers.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Not only did we beat you guys twice this year.
Because OG and Mikal combined for 4 points in the second game.
Bang,
that was a fluke.
Because
bang,
of our defense.
Bang.
You guys,
that was
we
a
have
fluke. That
the
was a
best.
Fluke.
We have... If not,
that's all. You are not winning in 7 games. We've given you work.
No, you have not.
We have put up a fight in those two competitions this year. We put up fights.
No, the second game really wasn't a fight. I'll be fair. The second game was not a fight.
No, didn't we cut it to 8 at one point?
Oh, 8 points.
8 points. It was the first off. It was the first quarter, and second that was
we
a
beat
fluke
you.
Game.
We OG. Beat you both games without Chet. Let's talk about that. I'm pretty sure the first game was out Hartenstein because you guys want to talk about OG and Mikal averaging 4 points together. Okay. And
OG Mikal will never come up with 4 points
then,
ever again.
Okay,
for the
sure.
rest of
what,
like history.
Whatever.
That will never happen again.
You guys want to talk about 8-man rotations. Let's talk about it. We have Chet. We have Jalen Williams, Hartenstein, Shea Gilgeous, Lou Dort.
Your second best player was a wild card in the All-Star roster. Come on, get out of here.
What?
Jalen Williams was probably one of the wild cards on the roster, and the Knicks' second option is a starter.
J-Dub's All-Star was a Mickey Mouse All-Star.
Thank you.
No, it was not. He's an actual All-Star. Look at the stats.
What am I saying? J-Dub is such a bucket, but I just can't hear this kid Angel talk.
If OKC is the fourth seed, J-Dub is not an All-Star. I promise you.
Okay. He's and that's totally fine with me.
And the Knicks are the only team with two
starters. But we are the best team in the league.
On defense.
We are the best team overall.
No, I would still take Boston over you guys.
I don't know about that. I don't take Boston over.
I would take Boston.
OKC is the best regular season team in the league. You're going to lose in the second round.
Jalen Williams is averaging 21-5. And
you
five
are so
Norman Powell deserves that All-Star spot over Jalen Williams.
I don't disagree.
Oh,
but he's the best. He's on the best team.
You said that earlier that Norman Powell wasn't a snub.
No, I did not.
You said that.
Yes,
the back.
You did.
No, I did not.
You said it in the back. I said that. You're like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Yes, you did.
I actually don't remember saying that. But if I did, oops. Shea Gilgeous, Jalen Williams, Chet, Isaiah Hartenstein, Aaron Wiggins, Lou Dort, Isaiah Joe, Cason Wallace. That's already 8 people.
Cason Wallace?
Jalen Williams.
Wind.
Again.
Cason Wallace is wind.
Alex Caruso. I forgot to name him. We have 10 players. There's no way that out of those 10 players.
You got faith in Aaron Wiggins?
Yes.
You can't run a 10-man rotation past the second.
Aaron Wiggins.
Let's talk about the shooting then. Aaron Wiggins is a 39% shooter.
Aaron Wiggins is a wind.
Isaiah Joe.
He's wind.
Isaiah Joe, a 40% shooter.
But you guys are not putting a 10-man rotation past the second.
Okay,
round.
We don't. Okay, I named you 10 players, but you can make 8
three of those guys won't play.
Okay, but that's how you know our team is super deep and really good. Because
still not
you're
better
telling
than
me
New, on paper, it's not better than New York.
Yes,
go,
it is.
We can go down the
our
list.
Our bench
right
is better than Cameron Payne. Lament.
I'm saying player for player.
Shamit.
I'm saying player for player. So
player for player.
SGA versus Brunson. Obviously, SGA is better. Shooting guard. I would take Josh Hart over J-Dub.
No. I take Mikal Bridges over J-Dub.
Me too. I'm taking Josh Hart.
I'm taking everyone over J-Dub.
No, you're not. You're not taking Josh Hart because J-Dub.
Josh Hart's the best role player in the NBA.
Thank you. Role player. J-Dub's two-way
What's
player.
What's being a role player?
Two-way player. He can score, he can defend, and he can do what Josh Hart does.
if he had to.
Josh Hart's a better rebounder than J-Dub. Okay. Also, I would argue slightly better on the offensive end, too.
No, he's not. J-Dub knows how to score.
I think I think on some nights, Josh Hart could be better than J-Dub offensively.
J-Dub knows how to score on different facets. That's the difference. Hart is only a slasher. J-Dub is a shooter and a slasher.
Hart's also one of the best rebounders, too. Like, he's a 6'5" guard getting 10 rebounds a night.
Okay.
That's Hart right there. That's love of the game.
And I
agree. That's love of the game. Josh Hart, that's important.
Josh Hart is an example. He is the representation when it comes
to the
love.
It's not a bunch of guys going in press. We're a team. Yep. We don't go.
I feel bad for Derek and behind the scenes just listening to all of this. And
OKC, literally, like, it's just a bunch of OKC. It's just a bunch of kids barking.
That's literally what it is.
Okay, because we're tough. We grit. We grind. We know how to win games. We are 43-9.
If the Knicks starting five barked during every post game show, they would be crucified by the other 29 fan bases.
Okay.
If that was the Knicks.
We are young guys.
I think
Tom Thibodeau heard his players barking. Oh my God, that's laps.
They're playing 48 minutes.
You guys have a more professional style of running the team.
We are
laid back. We are energetic. You would not beat the OKC Thunder in seven games.
Yes, you would not.
We're out here aura farming like Shea Gilgeous Alexander going. Oh, I don't know. We're just tough.
Did
you see a post-game interview?
He's out here looking like a pigeon in those all-black fits.
Let's talk about defensive matchups. Shea Gilgeous can lock up Jalen Brunson.
No one can lock up Jalen Brunson.
Okay, fine. No one can lock up Shea. No one can lock up Jalen.
If you double Cat, who's guarding Brunson?
Needs to double Cat.
They catch at 40. Hardenstein
can guard Cat.
You what?
Because you said earlier in the podcast. Because you said earlier in the podcast that Hardenstein defense you're lacking from.
But Cat is.
No, that doesn't mean he can lock up Karl-Anthony Towns. Wait, but you do give credit that he is a defensive guy.
We'll give credit.
But
all Cat gotta do is post up and use that big body.
Hardenstein is not small.
I'm not saying he's small.
So what's the big body going to do?
I'm saying Cat is stronger than Hartenstein.
And he's more versatile.
That's debatable.
How?
Yes. Cat is also one of the most versatile players in the NBA.
Yes, but he can stay his ground.
Cat will take Hartenstein on an island. Cat will take Chet on an island.
I disagree. Chet, sure, yeah, he's bones.
I think Cat's the third best player in the NBA just behind Jokic and SGA.
Oh, that's a crazy statement.
It's not. Honestly, SGA, in my opinion, is debatable.
I'll die for the Knicks, but that's too far.
And this
I'm taking Cat over Jason Tatum any day of the week.
Nope. We are going towards the hour of the podcast.
I'm not taking 3 of 11 from the 3-point line. I'm not taking 8 of 24 field goal shooting just for.
I'm not taking this. I'm not taking this anymore. I can't.
He's tapping out.
You're taking Jason Tatum over Karl-Anthony Towns? I will walk off the set.
Well,
you kind of did.
Why is you even thinking about that?
You kind of did.
Jason Tatum over Karl-Anthony Towns? Yes.
I'm sorry, but...
24 from the field to honor Kobe Bryant. It's crazy. It's crazy. He goes 8 of 24 from the field just to honor Kobe Bryant.
But I'll give Kat 4th or 5th best, but it's Jokic, Shea, Luka.
Oh, Giannis. I forgot about Giannis. That's my bad.
Giannis.
I can't even put Luka right now because he just hasn't been playing.
That's why I would put Kat over Luka, just because of availability. Wemby's not better than Cat.
Not yet. Give it a year.
What?
Well, Wemby's just a glorified. No, I'm just kidding. I was gonna make the Shaq joke. No, it's a joke. There was this clip on Inside the NBA where Shaq was like, "Wemby's just a glorified bull on a worse team."
Yeah, I know.
I was gonna make that joke.
That's it. This is where.
Also, before we end, quick shout out to Bobo. He's been hooping the last three games.
Bobo.
This is crazy. I'm going to end off here in the podcast. Clearly, we had no structure. Clearly, it was just boys talking basketball.
The way it should be.
That's going to do it for us on this edition of Pick and Pod. If you guys want to catch this episode, we will be on Spotify and anywhere else that you hear your podcast.
Shout out Apple Podcasts.
This was a production of WFUV Sports. I'm Angel, followed by Bradley, George, Derek. Thank you for the production, and we will see you next week.